A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. It is great to have you with us on the program. As we get ready to break down all that happened on Super Tuesday, including the breakdown of one Michael Bloomberg's presidential campaign. Yes, Bloomberg is out after a Biden rout on Super Tuesday. Although Bernie Sanders, he won California, won Colorado. He's not out of it yet. But Michael Bloomberg is out of it after spending nearly $500 million and winning American Samoa. That was it. Now, look, Bloomberg did not need to win all of these profile or all of these primaries on Super Tuesday. But what he needed to do was to be competitive, to show that he was going to be a viable option as opposed to Joe Biden. Well, that didn't happen. And so Bloomberg suspending his campaign. But this is important. He's keeping all of his staff in place through November to work for the eventual nominee. And I'm guessing that means he's going to be using his staffers to promote Joe Biden's campaign starting immediately. We sat down, had a chance to talk with our friend Selena Zito of the Washington Examiner, New York Post, and of course, SelenaZito.com, who has been out on the road covering the 2020 presidential primary to get her thoughts on everything that happened on Super Tuesday and what happens next as well. Take a look and a listen. Selena, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we've got a little bit of breaking news as you and I are sitting down to talk here. Michael Bloomberg has officially suspended his presidential campaign, throwing his weight and his financial resources behind Joe Biden after a just absolutely disastrous performance on Super Tuesday.
I think that Mike Bloomberg's campaign will not be remembered for his terrible debate performances and or his awful, you know, version of dad jokes during those debate performances, but of him licking his fingers after he was eating at one of his events and wiping it on the, I think it was like the coffee container or something. I wasn't quite sure what the object was in the video that
right.
went around. But while we're in the middle of the coronavirus, I'm just saying that was just sort of symbolic of how detached he is from the cares and concerns and the values of the people that whose votes he was trying to buy.
Yeah, so let's delve into that for just a second. Then I do want to talk about Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. But, I've noted and others have noted that Bloomberg was doing pretty well. I mean, he was, gaining ground in the polls. He was obviously spending a ton of money. But then that first debate in Las Vegas happened. And really, I think probably the day before that debate was Bloomberg's high point. And you go back and you look at his ads and it's full of surrogates. You know, they're voiceovers. He's on camera a lot, but he's not speaking. Basically, he just says, I'm Mike Bloomberg and I approve this ad. I have the sense, and maybe I'm biased because I've been covering Mike Bloomberg, as a Second Amendment advocate for well over a decade now. But I just get the sense that the more people actually hear from Mike Bloomberg himself, the less likable he becomes.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, he had the same problem that Hillary Clinton happened. Do you remember in 2016 elections, I sometimes think it's important to go back and remember moments, when Hillary Clinton had that really great ad that was aimed at female suburban voters about Donald Trump's comportment. And it had like four or five little kids watching the television and Trump on the television and he's, doing, his usual, bombastity.
Right.
And if you watch any voter watching that, you're like, oh my God, this is just going to kill him. This is awful. This is terrible. This is great for Hillary. And voters responded to it positively until her voice came on the voiceover. And all of a sudden, I sat in a focus group where support went immediately away from her. And I think that Bloomberg suffered this, and so did Warren, Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, suffered from that same sort of fatal flaw in that they're not very likable people, and no matter what their policies are, their personalities are going to drive voters away from them.
Yeah. So to that end, you know, Bloomberg said that he's planning on paying all of his staff through November. So, I mean, he's suspending his campaign, but he's keeping all of that infrastructure in place to support, he says, whoever the nominee will be. I can't imagine him spending a penny to actually support Bernie Sanders. So I'm guessing he assumes that Biden's going to be the nominee and he'll be backing Biden going forward. He's also, Selena, going to continue to spend a ton of money at the state level on congressional races, backing candidates to push his anti-gun agenda. I'm curious, do you think that Bloomberg's presidential campaign will ultimately hurt his gun control efforts? Is he a damaged brand? Is he damaged goods now?
Oh, he has hurt his brand a lot. There is no question in my mind that when you say Bloomberg, you now have this image.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're talking about his money or even his news organization, whatever it is, or his company, it now has a tarnished brand. Now, that doesn't mean he can't recover from it, but it will be a challenge because he's Bloomberg and he's not likable. So he needs someone else to fix his Bloomberg problem. Bloomberg can't fix his Bloomberg problem.
Well, not even for $100 million would I fix Bloomberg's problem. He made his bed; he's got to lie in it now. So let's now talk about the candidate who had a better night than Bloomberg, but not as good a night as I think a lot of folks would have expected even just a few days ago. Bernie Sanders looks like he won California, narrowly lost Texas, won Colorado, obviously won his home state of Vermont. But Joe Biden's surge since South Carolina kind of gummed up a Sanders' path to victory here, and Joe Biden obviously now looking at a front runner status in the Democratic primary.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I've been on your show a bunch of times saying that Biden just like don't discount Joe Biden because campaigns are not run on social media, even though social media thinks that this is where you go and you find what's going on in American politics. I think that that 2016 proved that. I think Brexit proved that. I think Brexit 2.0 proved that. I think Boris Johnson proved that. And I think for Joe Biden proved that. So it doesn't matter what people say on Twitter. I mean, if we followed Twitter, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders would have been the nominee. But that's just not how it sort of plays out. And it shows that, it also shows that money doesn't buy votes. And cable news pundits do not buy votes, win over votes. Biden, even in the early voting, seemed pretty baked in with these voters. Long before, the three people, Buttigieg, Beto, and Klobuchar supported him. Again, pundits are saying, well, that's what did it. Not really. Voters aren't persuaded by that. Voters decide who they're going to vote for based on their community, based on their personal lives. I do think it's fascinating. I mean, just absolutely fascinating that the South, essentially, the Southern Democrats, who elite Democrats are always making fun of, were the ones to put the brakes on Bernie and say, and save the party from its swift sort of ride towards socialism.
So let's delve into that for just a second here, because, obviously this battle between the sort of establishment wing of the Democrat Party and the socialist wing of the Democrat Party right now, the establishment seems to be on top. How big a fracture do you think this will be for the party itself? Are the Bernie supporters, are they going to eventually fall in line if Biden gets the nomination? Are they going to back him, or are these divisions you know, within the Democrat Party, do you think they're deeper than what we saw in 2016 between President Trump supporters and then the quote unquote never Trump crowd?
So once again, we need to look back for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders has a movement. It's not a coalition. The Tea Party had a movement, was not a coalition. It was able to coalesce people in the midterm because they were able to get candidates that reflected the movement the Republican Party was. But a long time, 2012, and the Republican establishment made sure that the establishment candidate won. And those same movement Tea Party people did not show up in 2012 and vote. They didn't vote for Obama. They just sat on their hands. And so I think in the long run, this party is going to be more reflective of Bernie in 2024, and highly risk losing 2020 because the establishment candidate ended up being the one who got the nomination.
Yeah.
So I think they fell in line, but they're not in love. And I think where the party is moving will be more reflective in 2024 than it is being reflected this year.
Well, that would stand to reason. I mean, again, you look at the candidates left standing right now, and basically you've got 78-year-old Bernie Sanders, 77-year-old Joe Biden, I think, right? So, you know, 4 years from now, there better be some fresh faces and some new blood in the party.
Sanders sentiment, the movement sentiment,
yeah,
will be much more their platform.
That's interesting.
In just the way that the Tea Party's platform is much more evident in the Trump coalition than it was in the Mitt Romney coalition.
Yeah, no, I agree. But yeah. Do young voters need to show up? I mean, in order for that to happen, because that's one of the knocks about Sanders on Super Tuesday is that the youth vote really wasn't there in large numbers. That's, you know, the candidate of choice for those under the age of 35. But when do those folks actually, you know, as a movement, show up at the polls?
Not this year.
Clear. Well, not so far anyway. So specifically, let's talk about guns for just a second. Joe Biden in Texas Monday night, got the endorsement of Beto O'Rourke and said, Beto's going to be in charge of my gun control platform, which I have to imagine, Selena, is going to be, a Trump ad here before long. Joe Biden, the quote unquote moderate candidate, embracing the guy who said, hell yes, we're taking your AR-15s and saying we're going to put him in charge of my gun control efforts.
Yeah, he said and Biden has said it twice now that this is his guy. And you know, he's signaling that he's going to go as far left as possible on this, unless he made a mistake twice. I can see one time just making a flippant remark. But he's repeated it, and I think what he makes Beto his gun czar of his campaign. I don't know. It's not going to go over well with those exact same voters that put Biden, Southern voters and moderate voters that put Biden in the catbird seat for the election for the primary.
Yeah. And well, and to that end, I mean, you look at the primary votes, and it's been pretty fascinating to see the number of voters that have turned out in the Republican primaries. Virginia didn't have a Republican primary, so I couldn't go and vote in that yesterday. But you look at Texas, you look at Colorado, and a lot of these other Super Tuesday states, and it's record-setting turnout for a Republican president who's unopposed. I mean, it's looking more, in some cases, more votes than all of the Democrats combined in their contested primary. What do you make of that phenomena?
I think that it should be a warning shot to Democrats that these voters who have really no reason to have to show up at all in a primary election, that they're enthused, that they're excited, and they want to make sure that their voices are heard. And any talk of Trump supporters being, you know, overwrought with too much excitement, too much this, too much that is completely off. These voters cannot wait to show up. If they could early vote today, they would. And that enthusiasm is absolutely not going away.
Talking again with our friend Selena Zito. All right, so last question for you, Selena. Does Bernie have any chance of a comeback, or do you think that Biden has basically captured this nomination as a result of the Super Tuesday performance?
I think that the party officials, in particular the superdelegates who have the most power mm-hmm. in the nominating process, will make the case, and they'll make it, you know, based on what happened, that they can vote against Bernie in a convention and not be off, you know, completely detached from the will of the people. So I find it difficult for Bernie, but, you know, live in interesting times. Anything can happen. I think the more likely scenario is that Biden gets this, that Bernie supporters are not having to have anything with this, and it's going to have a suppressed impact on the more progressive wing of the party.
I would agree with that that prediction, at least as of right now, March 3rd.
That seems to be the path we're going on right now.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean we're going to divert into another path because, you know, this has been a wackadoodle primary season.
Well, yes.
With very little candidate, you mean no candidate to fall in love with. There's no candidate on that stage where I would, you know, that I would say these voters overwhelmingly fell in love with.
See, so, okay, I said last question. I'm going to ask you one more question because I agree with you, and I realize I've got my own bias here, but I look at the Biden campaign, for example, and I don't quite get why there was this, return to Joe Biden and you know, you saw this incredible surge in support for him because I listened to Joe Biden on the campaign trail. And yes, maybe you can make too much of his verbal mistakes, but he's not. I mean, just this is just my own honest opinion. I don't see him as a very impressive candidate on the stump. And I'm trying to figure out why everybody all of a sudden, you know, returned back to Biden. And what happens if, let's say, a month from now, there's some buyer's remorse? Do you think is that a possibility that, you know, as we get closer to the convention, people are like, oh, no, we made a mistake with Joe Biden?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely a possibility. And the thing is, this was about putting the brakes on Bernie. This was not about deep swelling support of Biden.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is, you know, you either vote for or against someone when you walk into a booth. And this was about voting against Bernie Sanders more than voting for Joe Biden. I mean, Joe Biden is a well-liked guy. It's very difficult not to like him. If you've ever met him, he's very personable. He's very nice. He's also very flawed. I think he is not going to make a consistent candidate that the Democrats need. One who is consistently on message. One who is consistently stable. One who consistently just, you know, go walk the straight line. He's never been that guy. And that's going to be their challenge.
Selena Zito, always appreciate your insight. Thank you so much for coming on the program today. I hope we get a chance to do this again soon.
Thanks for having me.
And make sure that you're reading Selena Zito at the Washington Examiner, New York Post. Where else can we find you, Selena?
You know what? If everyone would just go to my website, it's Selena Zito, SalenaZito. You can find all my stories there. And you could sign up for emails and come along with me across the country.
Dispatches from the middle of somewhere. All right. Selena, SelenaZito.com. That's the website. Selena, thank you again. We'll talk to you soon. All right, time now for our armed citizen story, our good deed of the day, and of course, our recidivism report from the great state of Indiana, Kokomo, Indiana, where prosecutors now seeking habitual offender charges for a Kokomo man that they say was involved in a shooting. This from the Kokomo Tribune. 23-year-old Trayshawn Derek Lamont Banks. He's now being charged with three counts of attempted murder, as well as possession of a handgun by a convicted felon. Verbal argument, according to an affidavit, turned into a fight outside of Banks' home, included Banks and another woman. Eventually, police say the woman got into a car with two other people, began driving away, and that's when shots were fired. The vehicle was struck. According to the affidavit, one of the people in the car and other witnesses identified Banks as the individual who fired that gun. Two 9mm casings found just outside of Banks' front door, which matched bullets found in Banks' home. A gun, however, was not found, according to the affidavit. Banks has denied being the shooter. When he was told that he was being charged with attempted murder, police say he said, quote, "Attempted murder? Well, I can see criminal reckless." Yeah, apparently Mr. Banks knows quite a bit about the law because he's violated it several times before. The Kokomo Tribune says Banks has been arrested and sentenced in the past few years for his connection to several other violent incidents. January 9th, 2017, he was convicted in Howard Superior Court of residential entry, which is a level 6 felony in Indiana. He was sentenced to 548 days in the Indiana Department of Correction with 1 year executed. The balance on supervised probation basically means you do a year behind and then you're out on your own. January 15th, 2009, he was convicted in Howard Superior Court of causing death when operating a motor vehicle with an alcohol concentration of 0.08 or more, which is a level 5 felony. For that charge, he was sentenced to 1,895 days in the Indiana Department of Corrections with, quote, 913 days executed. 1 year of that sentence was spent in the jail, 6 months on work release, 1 year on home detention, and the rest on unsupervised probation. So he was wearing an ankle monitor when he was arrested by police. The Kokomo Tribune says not mentioned in the recent court documents a shooting incident that occurred when Banks was 17 years of age. That would have been 6 years ago. He was arrested, faced charges of attempted murder, criminal recklessness, pointing a firearm. Despite being a juvenile, he was tried as an adult in that case. He was eventually sentenced to 64 days in jail after taking a plea deal. So here you go. Guy's 23 years old, can't stay out of trouble with the law, a lot of violent arrests, people have died, and still, slaps on the wrist, sent on his merry way. There you go. Mr. Banks there, currently being held without bond in the Howard County Jail. He is the subject again of today's recidivist report. Our armed citizen story of the day from Washington State, Tacoma, Washington, where a woman's life was saved after a stranger assaulted her and another stranger actually came to her aid. The News Tribune quotes the police report as saying that the woman said she was walking to her apartment when the defendant, who was a stranger to her, appeared from a dark corner, went behind her, placed both of his hands around her neck, and then squeezed forcefully. The News Tribune says another man saw the attack from a nearby apartment. He called 911. He also grabbed his gun, and then he ran to help. He yelled for the attacker to get off of the woman, which the attacker did once he saw that that man was armed. The suspect flailed his arms, yelled at the man with the gun instead. Police arrived, detained the suspect. According to the News Tribune, quote, repeated a sexual comment several times. At some point, lunged at officers and yelled, "I am God." No, he's not, but he is in a local jail cell as of right now. The woman unharmed, thankfully, because of the presence of that armed citizen. I would encourage her. Maybe I don't even need to encourage her. She might be taking a look at getting her concealed carry license right now. But again, thanks to that armed citizen, no shots were fired, but the situation de-escalated from a physical assault to an arrest. That is a happy ending. Now, our good deed of the day, also a happy ending for a couple in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, who needed the help of police when the bride-to-be actually locked her keys in her car. Judy Frazier was getting married last Sunday, and she had just gone to get her hair done with the bridal party. They get out of the salon, and they're looking for her keys, and she realized, oh, no, I put them in the trunk. So she said she and her friends ran over. They were trying to open the trunk, doing everything that they could. They eventually were unsuccessful, so they had to call Gatlinburg police. Officer Green came out. Judy Fraser says he came out, undid my car for me, and then didn't leave until we actually got the keys out of the trunk. The car security system apparently would not allow them to pop the trunk. They had to do some juggling and other things to get the trunk unlocked. According to WATE, when all was said and done, the bride took a picture with Officer Green because, as she said, he saved the day. So there you go. Wedded bliss. Thanks in part to Officer Green of the Gatlinburg Police Department, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. We thank you, sir, for your very good deed. And we wish Judy and her new husband many, many happy years. All right. That is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. Thank you for tuning in to the program today. And we look forward to talking with you once again tomorrow here on Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. Don't forget, you can subscribe at... where would that be? Town Hall Media on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, also Spotify, Stitcher, townhall.com's podcast page. And I think they said, I forgot one more thing. You can also become a VIP member of Bearing Arms at bearingarms.com. Exclusive analysis, commentary, and more. And of course, we do thank you for supporting the Second Amendment journalism that we do at bearingarms.com. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Do a little dance to celebrate Michael Bloomberg dropping out of the presidential campaign, but then get back to work. Because our rights are still not safe and secure. We'll see you tomorrow with another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company.